Welcome to the Classical American Education Podcast with the Copelands.
It is estimated that between 50 to 100 million people inhabited modern-day America before the arrival of Christopher Columbus in 1492. In the year 1605, a French explorer named Samuel Champlain arrived in the New World and explored the possibility of beginning a settlement. In his report back to Europe, he claimed that while trade is good, settlement is not possible because the natives were both violent and bloodthirsty. And yet, when the pilgrims arrived in Cape Cod in the year 1620, they discovered a vast wilderness that was virtually uninhabited. And when they finally did have contact with the natives, it was nothing like what had been reported by Champlain previously. Some Native Americans showed great kindness to the European settlers, but it is important that we understand why. Today, on the Classical American Education Podcast, we will discuss the true story of the Pilgrims and Indians. Something very significant happened between 1605 and 1620. Historical reports of an event in 1615 may unlock the key to understanding the massive outbreak of plague and the changed behavior of the natives towards the settlers. A group of Europeans suffered a terrible shipwreck just off the coast of North America. Most on board were killed, but four survivors were captured by a local group of Native Americans and forced into slavery. According to an eyewitness, one of the Frenchmen there cursed the natives for what they had done and said that, quote, his God was angry with them for their wickedness and would destroy them and give their country to another people that should not live as beasts as they did, but should be clothed. The response from the Native Americans was to laugh. They scoffed at the idea that any god could accomplish something so incredible, claiming, we're too numerous for your god to wipe us out. And the Frenchman's response, God hath many ways to destroy them that they knew not. You are free to draw your own conclusions about this story, but the truth is that after what we may consider to be a prophecy, some 45 to 90 million Native Americans soon died from disease, an epidemic that started in 1617 and caused up to 90% of that population to be destroyed. Not by European guns, not through war, not any intentional action of the settlers, but through disease. Only a few years after the epidemic concluded, the people we call pilgrims landed on the American shore. Once the pilgrims disembarked from the Mayflower, they discovered overgrown cornfields and so many bones in a nearby forest that one remarked, it seemed to me a newfound Golgotha. You might say that God intervened and made a way for this new nation to be formed. I'm not the only one to think that. Consider for a moment this fact. I have told you that 90% of the Native American population was wiped out by this plague. But the 10% that remained were still numerous enough to easily destroy the relatively small group of settlers. You probably know the story of the first winter where half the pilgrims died, but still no attack came from the Native Americans. Why? Because they were terrified of the Europeans and the Europeans' God. They believed that God had sent the plague of 1617 to wipe them out, and they had no desire to do anything else to anger him. Their chief, Massasoit, was eager to offer a peace treaty and willingly participated in the first Thanksgiving. The problems between the settlers and the Native Americans only began in earnest when the next generation took over after the death of Massasoit. The new leader, called King Philip by the settlers, concocted an evil plan to rid themselves of the Europeans that had by then grown large in number. He signed a treaty agreeing that the Native Americans would give up all of their weapons. Then he sold most of the Native American lands, using the money to secretly stockpile weapons in violation of the treaty. Then when there was little land left not already sold, he violently attacked to take back all the land by force. The result was the largest loss of life among the settlers by percentage in any war fought during that generation, including the French and Indian War and the Revolution. However, the scheme to rid the New World of the Europeans was unsuccessful. Later waves of Puritan settlers agreed with both the Pilgrims and the Indians. They felt the same way as the Pilgrims about an opportunity to establish a nation upon the Word of God. This can be seen in the sermon preached by John Winthrop, composed in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean on his way here. He borrowed the words of Jesus about the church being a city on a hill and applied that to the new society and what would eventually become America. These new settlers also agreed with the Native Americans about the cause of the plague that preceded them, Winthrop claiming that God had cleared the title of this land before their arrival. It has nothing to do with race or racism and nothing to do with IQ. It is very important that we all understand this truth about God. He is not a respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of principle. Every true source of American history will always emphasize the proper understanding of the word history. It means his story. That's the proper view of history, the providential view of history. If you were taught the oversimplified view of the Native Americans as peaceful people who only wanted to be left alone to live off the land, I have news for you. That is a lie. Certainly, there were some individuals in that society that you might call good people, just like in every society. But if we are going to generalize them, then let's base that on historical facts, not communist propaganda from so-called intellectuals of the 1960s. It is time that we toss the work of fake historians into the dustbin of history and trust those whose lives and work prove their trustworthiness. Noah Webster documented these facts about the natives living in Mexico when the Europeans arrived. Quote, although they did not represent the supreme God by any sensible objects, yet they had images of their inferior deities made of stone, wood, and gold or other metals. These were worshipped with prayers, fasting, with many rites and ceremonies. To these idols they sacrificed human victims, selected from their slaves or prisoners of war. In such numbers and barbarity that the accounts of them cannot be read without horror and astonishment. End quote. He is not alone in this assessment. Previously, we have spoken at length about Mary Graber's work, Debunking Howard Zinn, and that scholarly expose of false American history. She records details about the death of a Catholic priest at the hands of the natives who was killed by, quote, the usual methods of beating, burning, scalping, cutting off flesh, but also adding a mock baptism with boiling water. These practices were not always only performed for sadistic pleasure, but they were often tied to religious beliefs. Graber quotes Karim Taro from Xavier University, who said that communal torture and even cannibalism was regarded as another way to extract the spiritual power in human beings. We could devote an entire season of episodes to exposing these all too common practices of the Native Americans. But one final detail today from Noah Webster, who explained, quote, in battle it was less their desire to kill their enemies than to take them prisoners for the purpose of sacrifice. I submit for the consideration of anyone who believes in the God of the Bible that a people commonly participating in such practices are not those that God will bless. And it is time to set the record straight. While there was not a drastic difference between the Native Americans of North America and those native to South America, the early European settlers in North America were a drastically different group of people than the Spanish who conquered South America. Webster explained that the Native Americans in North America were, quote, considered the rightful owners of the soil and treated as such, and that the settlers, quote, were careful to acquire a just title to the lands by a fair purchase from the possessors, and the deeds are registered among the records of the colonies. Moreover, he explains what many modern-day Americans have never been told, quote, had it not been for the French in Canada, who during the wars between England and France instigated the savages to seek the blood and property of the English, it is probable that our forefathers would have escaped most of the wars with the Indians and their distressing consequences, end quote. Unfortunately, there are those who desire not only to hide that truth, but to replace it with a plethora of lies to promote the transition of America from a nation built upon biblical principles to a land bowing to the edicts of world government. As I previously mentioned, there were some great acts of kindness performed by select Native Americans, such as the help given to the Pilgrims by Squanto. But we should realize that it was not because they lived simple lives full of random acts of kindness. It was because a plague that, if not orchestrated by God, was at least not prevented by Him, which caused a generation to fear the God of the Bible. American history is, after all, His story. One final quote from Noah Webster to summarize the respect that we should pay to those early settlers of New England. For the progress and enjoyment of civil and religious liberty, in modern times, the world is more indebted to the Puritans of Great Britain and America than to any other body of men or any other cause.
Interested in a classical American education seminar in your local church, small group, or homeschool co-op? The CAE Podcast would be glad to schedule a seminar for you. Email us at classicalamericaned@powg.org to see if we are available in your area. If we aren't available in your area, you may purchase DVDs of the seminar that includes a PDF version of student notes. Again, reach out to us by email at classicalamericaned@powg.org. to schedule your seminar today. Again, that's classicalamericaned@powg.org. I think it is very likely that the vast majority of our listening audience has never heard some of the details that you have shared today. That is not because these facts are hidden in some secret governmental depository. It is because the proper history that was once taught in our public school system has been rewritten by those with a socialistic agenda.
That is exactly right. One excellent source that you can find more details about what I shared is History of the Town of Plymouth, a historical examination of the Pilgrims written by James Thatcher in 1835. That is well before so many of the actual stories have been ignored and even edited by false historians such as Howard Zinn, who were far more interested in their socialistic agenda than truth. It is fascinating how modern-day academics will take the rather horrendous behavior of men such as Cortez, an outlaw from Spain who was never officially sent by a government of Europe to the New World, and try to pretend that all Europeans acted in the exact same manner. The simple truth is that his murderous rampage through South America has absolutely nothing to do with the people who came to North America. Then at the same time, the practices I documented as taking place in South America by the natives were the same group of people as the natives who settled in North America. But somehow we distanced their actions from those who continued to migrate further south.
How did this misrepresentation occur about the Native Americans, or Indians as they have been called for years?
That is such an excellent question. While so much of the guilt for this intentional misrepresentation should be placed at the feet of so-called historians of the mid to late 20th century, who were nothing more than communists seeking to push their socialistic agenda. We also can see this trend starting in literature during what is referred to as the Romantic period.
Which has nothing to do with what we call romantic today.
Correct. Romanticism was a movement imported from Europe early in the 19th century, in which the traditional values were seen as outdated and in need of being replaced with youthful passion and, frankly, ignorance. The Romantics valued time spent in nature and human intuition over actual knowledge and experience. Society was seen as a great source of evil, so the more uncivilized a main character could be, the better. Country bumpkins like Rip Van Winkle became heroes, and no group of people were considered to be better examples of human nature unspoiled by civilization than the Native American. A new tradition was developed called the Noble Savage, in which many authors invented characters who were Native Americans, who did not trust society, and felt much more comfortable in nature as a way to push back against the traditional society they felt to rebel against. These savages always were presented as morally superior to their civilized counterparts. I think it is very likely that this trend in fiction was seen as the perfect model for presenting an intentionally skewed version of American history to the post-hippie generation of Americans.
It sounds like what is good being called evil and what is evil being called good.
That is what the Bible said our world would be like in the end time, and that is exactly what we see today.
Of course, that is not to say that there were no acts of kindness performed by the Native Americans. You mentioned Squanto.
Yes, that is one of the best stories from this time period, and one that most people are only vaguely familiar with. Perhaps you've heard the image of the virtuous Native American feeling sorry for the pitiful Europeans who had no idea how to survive in the New World. At least half of that is true. The Pilgrims were certainly not fully equipped for what life was like when they arrived in what would later be called New England. They did have help from some experienced men, like Miles Standish, who served as what might be called their military leader, but by and large, they were not experienced in the type of skills needed to survive in the wilderness. In a foreign land with unfamiliar geography, different growing seasons than what they had previously experienced, and not being able to communicate with any of the natives, the Pilgrims really were in a desperate situation. William Bradford called Squanto a special instrument of God because of the amazing story of how he became their friend. Squanto's personal story is rather tragic. He was kidnapped by an Englishman and sold into slavery in Spain. During his time spent as a slave, he learned the English language and eventually escaped, most likely upon receiving help from some local monks. He was then helped by a Mr. Slaney, an Englishman, in his desire to return to his homeland. But upon arrival in 1619, he discovered that his entire village had been wiped out by the plague. When the Pilgrims were approached by an Indian named Samoset, he explained to them in broken English that he knew a native who could speak English fluently, and introduced them to Squanto, who lived amongst the Pilgrims until his death.
That is a remarkable story. I can see how William Bradford came to the conclusion that God had intervened to save Squanto's life and prepare him with the communication skills he would need to be able to help the settlers.
Ironically, the tribe Squanto belonged to, if it were not for the plague, would have most likely attempted to wipe out the settlers instead of helping them.
What lesson do you think our listeners need to take hold of from this story?
I would say there are two important lessons. Remember that God is not a respecter of persons, but He is a respecter of principle, and we need to live our lives according to the principles of His Word if we desire His blessing. And secondly, allow me to quote Marshall Foster once more. When considering our responsibility to endure hardship when necessary to accomplish the will of God, he said, quote, "We must become the pilgrims of the 21st century, bearing the cross if we intend to wear a crown.
Well, that is all from today's podcast. Be sure to join us on our next episode when we will be discussing what has become a rather controversial question. Is America a Christian nation? We will have the answer in the next episode. You will want to share it with your friends and family.
Until then, feel free to reach out with any questions and comments. ClassicalAmericanEd@POWG.org. Once again, that's ClassicalAmericanEd@POWG.org.
You can also help us by sharing a link to the CAE podcast and giving us a positive review. Until then, may God bless you as you serve Him in Jesus' name.